This is Pastor Jim Crisson for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. In the reality of today's world, everyone has questions. How do we get here and how do we move forward? You are invited to join us in worship on Sunday mornings as we provide answers to these and other important questions of the hour. Of course, there is only one answer, and that is the love of Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer. We are a Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. If you're looking for a church home and the fellowship of a faith community to sustain and uphold you as you move forward in your journey, please join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings by Zoom or in-person worship at 1515 Egger Street here in Rock Springs. Visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org. You are welcome to join us at Rock Springs First Methodist Church.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage with Reverend Jimmy Crisson on Independence Day, Sunday, July 4th, 2021.
Well, good morning. Wish you a happy 4th of July. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of life, of love, of peace, of time itself, thank you for what you are and what you do. Help us to speak about your many gifts and your wonderful works every day in ordinary places and ordinary ways. This we pray in the name of the one who is your most perfect gift, Jesus our Christ. Amen.
Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you. Father, we come to you on this day as we celebrate as a nation independence, independence from oppression, excessive abuses of power. And Father, as we come today, let us be reminded that in Christ we are set free from the bondage of slavery, sin, and death. Remind us today of your love and grace that binds us, heals us, strengthens us in our journey. Father, may we believe in you and live for you by faith. Father, we bring many needs. We've spoken so many aloud today, and you've heard each one. But upon each heart, I am quite sure today that there are those things that we would not call out in public, that are burdens upon our lives, in our journey, in our families, friends, and those we meet and know. Father, we lift those needs to you as surely as the ones we've lifted aloud. We pray for those who travel during this holiday season, but also who travel through the summer here in Wyoming, enjoying the respite from winter. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. Be with us, lead us, and guide us, and may we honor you in everything we do. We pray for our community, our churches, our leaders. Father, we pray for our nation and those who are chosen by us to represent us, that that's what they would do. We pray today for morality, honesty, and integrity, service and selflessness to become values that are honored, sought, esteemed, saw, used, and experienced. Father, we pray for those who serve our communities from law enforcement, our military personnel. We thank you for the freedoms we have to do exactly what we're doing this morning, to assemble, to worship, the freedom of speech that allows me as a pastor to preach, that allows us to sing our hymns that express our belief, that allow us to break bread at a table of communion, to make our professions of faith, and for the freedoms that allow us to live it out in liberty, in freedom that first and foremost must come from you. So, Father, as we bring our hearts, let us know that you have set us free. And if you, in Christ, have set us free, we are free indeed. And, Father, we do pray for nations in the world to be drawn to you in more than thought and word, but in belief that results in faith. Father, we pray for a revival in our nation and around the world, a renewal of faith and integrity of living a life that would be a witness to others of your work in us and through us. Father, may we worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Today we're reading from the book of Mark, chapter 6, 1 through 13. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their disbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Belief. This text is interesting to me in a lot of different ways. As it starts out, Jesus has just had this remarkable event where he had just raised this little girl from the dead. Remember? The woman that had been cured of the issue of blood in the previous part of the text. And now he's returned to Galilee, the place where he had grown up, the place where people knew him. And where do we find him on the Sabbath? He is teaching in the synagogue. And it's interesting that they are amazed at his teaching. They are amazed at his teaching. They cannot believe what he can tell them. They also acknowledge his deeds of work and honor. They acknowledge all of the things that he has done. But then, they go, wait a minute. Don't we know him? Isn't this the carpenter or the son of the carpenter? Is this not the son of Joseph? And don't we have his brothers with us? And he names off his brothers. And his sisters, are they not also here with us too? It's that carpenter. And then it's interesting as you continue to read it. And I kind of chuckled when I looked at this again. And it says, and he could do no great deeds among them except, you know, cure a few sick and anointing some people and make. Folks, how many of you have ever been sick? Really been sick? Tell me something. In the midst of that sickness, if somebody came in, laid hands on you and healed you, would that not be pretty important? I mean, it's like Mark says, well, you know, it was kind of, we was raising the dead last week, and now we're over here, just a few, no great, but what it exemplifies is, because they had prejudged him, they couldn't believe in him. And if we can't believe, we can't have faith. What are the two themes of the Gospel of Mark? Fear and faith. We have to get belief before we can have the faith. But notice how they have judged him. They reject him. Now they actually find his words, his deeds, and his acts insultive. He has offended them. And he can do no good works among them. And he cannot believe their unbelief. So he turns and he says, okay, guys, I'm going to send you out two by two. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind when I read that is putting animals on the ark. Does anybody else think that as soon as you read that? I mean, when you read that, you just all of a sudden you got these two by twos, you know. But he sends them out and he gives them power to cure the sick, cast out demons, all those things, and they go. But he gives them charge and he says to them, go. And if you are welcome, stay until your work there is finished, and then go to another place. But if they don't receive you, then dust off your feet, for it's a bad thing. I'll take care of that later. So it says there are people who will reject Christ, who will not believe. But there are those who will believe, who will come into faith. And the question becomes then, what is faith? There are a lot of things we believe in, but there are a few things we have faith in. We believe in the systems. We believe in lots of different particularities. But what do we have faith in? What has stood the test of time? One of the problems in the Christian community is shallowness of journey. I face this a lot as a clergy, where I have people say, well, God will get me through. Pardon me? Yeah, God will get me through. Okay, that's good. How? Well, God will get me through because I'm having trouble. I'll get him out of his box. And you know what I'll do? I'll get me a Band-Aid, and God will come over and he'll fix my little boo-boo. He'll put a Band-Aid on my boo-boo and it'll be all better. How many of you realize the Band-Aid don't make it better? A Band-Aid covers up what's broken, doesn't it? The healing comes from within. Sometimes the healing takes extra time and more bandages. Some people treat God as if he is a Band-Aid, turning to him only when things go bad. And as soon as the badness goes away, they forget. Many times in my pastoral ministry, in churches in different places, the church has reached out and helped people in tragedy, never to see them darken the door again. as soon as the tragedy would be ended. Many times people reach out and were treated as a Band-Aid from the box. Where are we in our journey? Have we got past the belief to the faith? You see, how many of you ever skin your hands and knuckles? Then the rest of you haven't done much. Because it happens. And when I'm working on vehicles and things at home, and my kids, grandkids, they laugh at me because I look down in there. How many of you have looked down in an engine compartment lately? I mean, they don't leave any room in there for anything. I mean, air can't hardly get through there. And I'll look at my hands and I'll say, okay, I'm so sorry, guys, but you're going in. And you just get scuffed up. And the next thing you know, the job's official. Do you know what makes a job official? Blood. As soon as you are bleeding on job, it's an official job now. It's real. You know, you got in there. But I've learned that I can put a Band-Aid on that little bloody spot, and the bleeding will stop for a little while. Have you noticed that? Of course, some of us are pickers, and we can't stand it, so we don't let it alone. But we don't know anybody like that in here, do we? But we put that Band-Aid on, but you know what I found out? That Band-Aid comes off in a little while. And I noticed that I've got a scab on. How many of you noticed them? You get at them, you know, can't stand it. But we've got a scab. And I've noticed that healing of that cut starts on the inside and heals its way out. That Band-Aid didn't offer any healing at all. It offered a temporary reprieve from the bleeding. It offered a temporary covering of protection, but it didn't offer healing. And so many times people get broken. So many times our life gets into a shambles and we get the God Band-Aid out, but we don't let God in so that we can have the healing that is needed to give us and restore us and to bring us back. We want God to be a genie in a box and jump when we yell and conform to what we want rather than letting God come into our hearts and lives, change it, move it, and change it from the inside out. We want God on our terms. We want Him convenient and handy when we decide we need Him, not when He calls us. We have a one-way means of communication. When we call on Him, He should show up, break out the Band-Aid, take care of whatever the immediate need is, and let us go about our way. And that is what these people wanted of Jesus. But then when He got to His own hometown, the problem was they couldn't get past His past. They couldn't see God at work in His life. They saw the mighty deeds, and they even acknowledged they were impressed. But at the end of the day, He was still just the carpenter's son. How many of you have been judged by your past? Come on now, I know I ain't the only one. I mean, it's terrible. How many of you have tried to do better with your life? Yeah, I think most of us do. I think that most people want to do better, not worse. But sometimes life just keeps beating us down. But, you know, it was like when I was had started in ministry, I think it was around 97 or so. It's been a long time ago, Nicholas. It wasn't before dinosaurs. But it was in about 97 or so, I got called to preach a revival at Ebenezer United Methodist Church, which was actually about 40 miles from where I had grown up. It was kind of like going back home. And I went there to preach the revival, and my mom and dad had told everybody in the little community of Busick, there was about 30 of them to tell where I grew up, that I was going to be preaching this revival. And when she told this one guy, I'm not going to use his name, he said, "Ain't no way. There's no way that he is preaching. I won't believe it until I see it." You see, I wasn't the best kid. My favorite pastimes were hot rod cars. My vision of hot women, I got the fumes early. Perfumes and gas fumes. They just messed up my whole head. And other pool games, man, if there was a game of eight ball somewhere, I was up for it. Anyway, I wasn't the best character in the world. I loved to get into scuffles with people. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was just, you know, but I was messed up, you know, messed up. And he decided that he wouldn't believe it unless he saw it. So, lo and behold, Sunday night, the revival meeting started, and there he was on the back corner pew. And I thought I recognized him, but it had been a little while. And I thought, after the service was over, I got a little better look at him, and it was him. My arch enemy from high school days. How many of you had enemies in high school? Just me? Yeah, I didn't like him. I didn't like him at all, and I let him know what I thought of him. And I showed him a few times what I thought of him. But there he was on the back pew, and I was preaching a sermon. And as he went out, he said, "I'll be back tomorrow night." And that's about how he said it. Like, "We'll see." And I thought, well, if I go out in the parking lot and he's waiting, you know, we're going to be back where we used to be. But he wasn't there. He'd left. The second night, he brought his three running buddies. And they got on that back pew. And the third night, he came, his buddies didn't. And he gave his life to Jesus. You see, his buddies couldn't get past my past. But he got past my past. And you know what he said as he come up from that altar having given his life to Christ? And we're crying, you know, that's the whole thing going on. And he looked at me and he said, "If he can change your life, he can change mine. If he can turn your mess around, he can turn my mess around." And he hugged me and he said, "I never thought that you would not be in prison or dead. And here you are, letting God work through you." Folks, it isn't about God doing our will. It's about us letting God use us to touch the lives of others, despite our brokenness. What are we holding on to that only God can heal? What is it that we need to let go of? Take the Band-Aid off and let God get in there deep enough to heal it. You see, faith brings us to the promises. "Come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Confess your sins one to another, and I'll forgive them. I will heal you. I will give you life that you may have it and have it more abundantly. Yes, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Folks, if you're holding on to brokenness, give it to him. If you're holding on to disappointments, don't let them turn into other things that can destroy your life. It begins with belief and it moves into faith as we trust God, as we let God into our lives. And let God begin to heal us from the inside out. Don't let your past destroy your present and take away your future in God. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, I would pray today as we prepare to come to your table, that we bring our brokenness, that we bring our regrets, that we bring life as it has hit us, that we bring it all to you, and that in your love, grace, and mercy, we let it be healed from the inside out. Father, we pray today that you aren't just a God of Band-Aids, but a God of healing from deep within. Father, that we are attending prayer daily, reading and studying your word, that we are struggling with those parts of us that only you can touch, that we're struggling with the brokenness and the scars and the cuts and the wounds of life that often are replayed in our memories. Father, we pray today that we would let you into those darkened places to root that out. And Father, help us to realize that others can be in different places. And Father, if they do so judge us, so be it. Let us be faithful in you despite what others may think, say, or do. And may you be more than a band-aid in a box, but may you be the balm of healing from the inside out. Prepare hearts to come before your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to know that God would love to be on the inside, working toward the outside, to make us whole, to give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us grace. May we go to know that God wants to be more effective in our life than a band-aid stuck on top of a scrape. May we know to go and know Christ within, that he may be seen without. And now may grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.